the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you.
Yes, happy Tuesday.
Yeah, you like the little crisp, cool weather in the morning to get you started, and then it warms up. Isn't that kind of nice?
Yeah, I'm over the cold. I just need to be as close to the equator as possible. So I am 100% ready for summer right now.
Oh,
so
okay. Well,
that's, any day now.
I'm with you. I know you're a beach bum. So, and yeah. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean,
someone
who likes to hang out at the beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So
I am.
Those days are coming soon. In the meantime, today is the feast day of Blessed Angela Salawa. So you may have not heard of her, but we'll have her on our Saint of the Day to give you all the details. But there is a prayer we're going to offer up for her intercession in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you teach us that the commandments of heaven are summarized in love for you and our neighbor. Following the example of Blessed Angela Salawa, selflessness may we be among the blessed in your kingdom. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a wonderful lineup for you today at 10 after. We have various events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of the events we discussed today at our website, calendar, at ccmedia.live. Just click on events and news. In 18 minutes, Claire Willis joins us. She is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She'll be giving us her monthly update. In 35 minutes, Julia Wade joins us. She is a Catholic author, and she has a new book out called Joseph's Workshop. It's such a cute children's book, so looking forward to speaking to Julia today a little bit more about St. Joseph and how we can teach our young children about this wonderful saint and model. And in 48 minutes, Jeff Dunbar joins Damian in the Baton Rouge studio. He is part of the board of Woman's New Life Clinic, a wonderful apostolate over in Southeast Louisiana. He'll be talking about why he supports Woman's New Life Clinic. So looking forward to today's guests. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you have for us?
Well, we're going to start out chilly, as we mentioned and talked about. Temperatures pretty much in the 40s everywhere except New Orleans, where it's 55 right now. We are going to warm up nicely, though. High today, 78. Skies will remain cloudy with a slight breeze out of the south-southeast, and no rain expected for today. However, tomorrow, things will change as we're looking forward to rain not only for Wednesday, but all the way through Sunday, 50% chance or more each and every day. So that's the bad news when it comes to if we're going to get wet the rest of the week. The answer is there's a good chance we will. Temperatures will remain in the upper 70s and lower 80s throughout those five-day period. It will be just wet and humid. So nothing to look forward to as far as that is concerned and in my book, because at least it won't be cold and wet. That for me is the worst.
There is so much pollen on my car. I almost kind of welcome this rainy weather to kind of wash all that off so it can come right back again. You know, it's just that time of year.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
I think these 5 days of rain that are expected may finally get rid of that pollen and get spring on its way. So don't go too far. We have some events we want to share with you, including the relics of St. Jude coming to Baton Rouge. Cool. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is taken from John chapter 5. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who was the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk?'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus, because he did this on a Sabbath. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's Gospel shifts our focus from Galilee to Jerusalem, where Jesus goes for an unspecified feast. Jesus came to the Sheep Pool, which, like a primitive hospital ward, was surrounded by the ill, blind, lame, and crippled. There he encountered a crippled man who had been ill. When Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" he explained his helplessness to enter the pool in time to take advantage of its healing opportunity. And then, using words similar to other occasions of healing the paralyzed, Jesus said, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately, the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. John then informs us it was a Sabbath, setting up the controversy that will follow. But let our focus rifle in on the cure itself. One of the graces of Lent is the acknowledgement that we are ill, blind, lame, and crippled. With a mind, to quote St. Paul, that is preoccupied with earthly things, it's tough to admit how poorly we love and to recognize that Francis Thompson's lament in his poem, "The Hound of Heaven," applies to us. "Though I knew the love of him that followed," referring to Jesus, the heavenly bloodhound, "yet I was afraid, lest having him, I might have naught besides." So during Lent, Jesus seeks us out, wounded as we are in the battlefield of life, to ask us the same question. Do you want to be well? If we answer yes and mean it, a subtle transformation will take place that normally is not dramatic. Paraphrasing St. Paul, we then make the determination to press on, to possess Jesus, who has already made us his own. Then, forgetting the mistakes of our past, we strain forward to the task of living in Christ so we can possess the prize of the upward call to what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and Father Chris Decker, and thank you for tuning in to Wake Up on your radio, as well as watching us on WLAE in New Orleans and Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. We appreciate it wholeheartedly. And we have some events we want to share with you. This one, I think people are going to come from miles around. Tomorrow night at St. George Catholic Church, it's actually going to start in the afternoon, but there will be a relic of the Apostle of Impossible. And I'm referring to St. Jude, who everyone turns to for hopeless causes. And his relic, his forearm bone, they think this is the bone from his arm, is going to be there for veneration. And that is going to start at 3:30 in the afternoon. There will be a Mass at 7 o'clock. That will be presided by Bishop Michael Duca, the Bishop of Baton Rouge. And also, veneration will close at 10 o'clock. So basically from 3:30 to 10 with Mass around 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. They're right off the interstate and easy to get to. And what I want to point out also, this is the first time that the relic is going to be in the United States. It's a nationwide pilgrimage, which is taking place and sponsored by Treasures of the Church, which is run by Father Carlos Martins. So it's a very cool thing, and it'll give you an opportunity to venerate St. Jude, and it's a relic. Bring some religious articles with you so you in turn can leave with third class relics.
Yeah, like a prayer card is a really good one.
Who doesn't have a St. Jude medal, you know?
Good one. Yeah, most definitely. Wow, that's pretty cool. So definitely check that out. That's happening tomorrow. Something that's also happening later this week is a Notre Dame Seminary Gala and Auction. It's honoring Good Shepherd Award recipients Larry and Barbara Hedrick. It's going to take place Saturday, March 16th. Patron party starts at 6, gala and auction starts at 7. There will be a silent and live auctions, dinner, cocktails, music. For more information, ticket levels, and so much more, you can go to ccmedia.live.
And speaking of St. Jude, St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge will be having a men's retreat. It's a one-day retreat. It's entitled, You're a Good Man, May God Given Dignity and Purpose Be With You. The retreat is $15 for each man, and lunch and study materials will be provided. It's going to be next Saturday from 9 until 1. So it's only 4 hours, but it's going to be high impact, to say the least, because presenters are Deacon Michael Parker and Mr. Scott Lasavio. So two good speakers as well. For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
Yeah, well, this next event is open to all 8th through 12th grade students. It's a CYO Spring Retreat the weekend of March 22nd through the 24th at Bogue Chitto. I hope I'm saying that right, yeah. Damien, but they will meet over at St. Catherine of Siena and Metairie and then head over. They will return Sunday at 10:30. So that's, again, March 22nd through the 24th for 8th through 12th grade students.
All right. Claire Willis is going to be with us next. She is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Going to get an update on what's happening in the diocese education-wise. It's 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 12th. Today we celebrate Blessed Angela Salawa. War brings out the extremes. In the case of Angela Salawa, it revealed her courage and goodness. Born in Poland in 1881, Angela moved to Krakow as a young woman. Working as a domestic, she began to gather with and instruct other young domestic workers. During World War I, she displayed remarkable dedication and courage by helping prisoners of war, whatever their nationality or religion. She also cared for soldiers wounded in the war. Addressing herself to Christ in her diary, Angela wrote, Lord, I live by your will. I shall die when you desire. Save me, because you can. Bad health finally forced Angela to end her apostolic works. The limits placed on her were especially difficult for someone whose goal was to spread the good news wherever she could. In 1922, at age 41, God called the humble Angela home. She was beatified in 1991 by Pope John Paul II in a public square in Krakow. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. We're so glad you're joining us this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Clotto. Our first guest today is Claire Willis. Claire is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Claire, thank you for being with us today.
always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Most definitely. Well, I love to talk about educators, and they just mean so much to not only the students, for the parents as well. So let's talk about educators in the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Schools and how important they are to
Absolutely.
Our families and to the community.
Absolutely. Well, especially in this season, as it's spring, this is when our schools, start to recognize what their hiring needs might be. And what people they might be looking for, what certain positions they're looking to fill. And for us in Catholic schools, it's much more than just, okay, let's find a person who's qualified. That's obviously very important. But how do we find people with the right heart, the right mission, and continue to form them throughout their career in Catholic education to grow in their own professional development, but as well as personal and spiritual development? So there's some initiatives that we've been working on lately. These are ongoing. We do them every year, but every year we always try to make sure we're doing them, better and better to serve all of our educators, both the teachers in the classroom and the school leaders. And so one thing that we offer as professional development for teachers is throughout the year there are webinars that they can attend virtually or at their own pace that have to do with Catholic identity and how to infuse it into the classroom. One of the things we say sets our schools apart, and it does, especially if you have kids in Catholic schools, you know this, is that it's not just a school, a traditional school where we have Mass once a week, but rather we try really hard to make sure that Catholic identity is integrated into everything we do, whether it be how we interact with the children and encourage them to interact with one another through the content that we choose to teach and the methods that we choose to teach it with. And so making sure that everything that we do and all the lenses that we use to view it are done through a Catholic lens. And so we have webinars for our teachers and different nice. Meeting opportunities for them to learn more about their own faith, their own faith development, but also what the Catholic Church teaches. And then we are making sure that our school leaders are getting developed in a similar way. We're actually offering a retreat, off-site retreat for our assistant principals and principals just this week, where they just get a chance to kind of have their own spiritual buckets refilled so that they can be those strong spiritual leaders for their schools.
What are the challenges that you have found when it comes to Catholic education, but really in particular religious studies? I know that whenever I spent my time in Catholic school in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, that was the forefront of what we did with everything. And that's something that I've carried on throughout my career as I've gotten older as well. But some of the challenges that you have faced when it comes to parents and instilling that Catholic faith in Catholic schools?
Yeah, sure. So, one of the things is we say frequently that parents are the primary educators of the children. But at the same time, when they are choosing a Catholic school for their children, they're expecting that formation to continue and even further develop while they're at school. So we know that some families are going to send their children to our schools, and maybe the family is not Catholic, or maybe they might be Catholic, but maybe not practicing it fully. And both of those things are completely okay and normal. We want to make sure that we're giving ample opportunities for parent formation in understanding the Catholic faith and the teachings of the church so that they can continue that development at home. But while we have the kids at school, like I said, we're going to offer opportunities for the sacrament. We're going to offer religion classes that start as soon as they enter into school. They are typically getting daily religion courses or theology classes once they get into high school. And then we're also making sure that our teachers are getting those great opportunities to more robustly understand the Catholic faith so that it does integrate into all of the content areas and not just religion class. So it's not just, okay, well, I'm learning English in this class, math in that class, and I do religion when I'm in religion class, but rather infusing it throughout all of the content areas and empowering the teachers with knowledge and tools to feel confident that they can do that, even if they're not Catholic themselves.
I love that. And I remember there were always a few families every so often who weren't Catholic but sent their children to Catholic schools but later became Catholic. And you would see, there's, Sarah getting, baptized on Holy Saturday with her family. Talk about how the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Schools really supports those families who enter in not Catholic but then leave as Catholics.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, especially at our schools that are parochial schools, so they're ministries of their parish, there's so many great opportunities to get families involved with both school life but also parish life. And so I think the best way that we as Catholics can witness to those, our brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, is simply through our own faith sharing with our daily living, our examples of faithful living, being involved in our church parishes in ways that invite other families to attend. So whether it's making sure that they're getting invited to the social activities, to ministries of the church that maybe don't require full membership in the church at the time. So, doing that, I think, is what really welcomes in our neighbors who maybe aren't Catholic yet, but are interested or at least have an affinity for the Catholic Church, at least in the manner of Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. And then through our friendship and our witness, that's what's going to attract people to further become like fully embrace membership in the church. You know, it can't just be by proselytizing. We've got to, evangelize through our witness. And I think that our families in Catholic schools do that very well. And that's why you've seen that happen, right? Families come for the education and stay for the whole picture.
Yeah, I've been seeing that as well. Let's talk about kind of on the flip side. So you said that the Diocese of Baton Rouge really does support teachers, especially mm-hmm. in formation. Talk about how we as parents can support our children's educators moving forward sure. through each grade level. They are with our kids all the time and they see things that we don't see. They're there when we are working or doing whatever we need to do. How can we as parents support our children's teachers?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you can imagine, the field of education has just gotten more and more challenging for teachers. The expectations have increased. Kind of the transparency demand has increased, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can lead to greater stress levels and maybe a heavier workload for educators who already work pretty tirelessly. The best thing that our parents can do for our teachers, number one, is pray for them. They need to be fortified with prayers every single day because it's just it's a hard but very, very important job. But I think the other thing is just going into it with a mindset of we're partners. As I said, parents are those primary educators. And so in order for teachers to really be able to be successful at their job, they need to know that they've got a partnership with the parents of the children that they're educating. That means being open to communication, being proactive in communications, utilizing the resources that the schools put into place for sharing information, whether it be, you know, reading the newsletters that they send out or, checking grades on a regular basis through the online portals that we provide. You know, those are things that the parents can do. And it does take a little bit more time on the parents' end to search out and find that information. But schools are providing it and they do that so that parents can be at full partners in the education process. And so embracing that partnership and praying for those educators.
Two
very important ways to support our teachers.
You are absolutely right. And having that relationship, parent to teacher as well, them getting to know you, you getting to know them. But I also encourage parents, I know that the workload and jobs are so demanding these days, but taking the time, maybe just once a year to volunteer for, lunch duty or something with Catholic Schools Week, something to really kind of get involved and get a feel of where your child is during the day and the support and love that they get every day and getting to know your teachers one-on-one as well. How important is that, Claire, to get involved? I'm not saying every week because I know that's not realistic for a lot of parents, but so often.
Well, I think I agree. Absolutely. Involvement is key. And that can be as little as just knowing what's going on in the classroom and supporting it in whatever manner that you can. Sometimes it's as simple as like making sure there's, enough adequate boxes of Kleenex in the classroom because it's simple season and I can't physically be in the classroom, but I can just send a few extra boxes because I know we're going through them at a rapid rate. If you have any opportunity to volunteer at the school at the many various options that the school provides, that's always a wonderful way for parents to not only feel like they're supporting the school, but also to get a real sense of the school culture and the people who serve in that. Because when you know people, it's easier to partner and be friends with them. And as I said, this education process is is truly a village work. And so knowing who's in that village is really critical. And so any opportunity that people have to get, and I get it, it can be hard, especially if you're a working parent yourself, but sometimes volunteering can look, can take various forms. And so trying to find a place where you can be supportive.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, dropping off those boxes of Kleenex in the carpool line when the teacher asks for them or anything like that, different kind of supplies. But thank you so much, Claire Willis. You've given us so many opportunities to support our children's educators within the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Schools. DIOBR is where you can go. DIOBR.org is where you can go to find out more information. Claire Willis, thank you so much for joining us today.
I've always enjoyed it. Look forward to talking next time.
Definitely. Claire Willis, assistant to the superintendent of Catholic Schools and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. I know we only have, I think, like 10 more weeks of school, 10, 11 more weeks of school. It's getting close to the end, but there's still ways that we can support our Catholic teachers. So stay tuned for that to find out some various ways as well. Julia Wade joins us when we return from the break to talk about her new children's book called Joseph's Workshop. It is 6:30 on Wake Up. It is 6:35. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, and we are moving right along. Our next guest, Julia Wade. She is a Catholic author, and today she's talking about her new book, Joseph's Workshop. Hey, Julia, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Gabby. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, I love Catholic children's books because I really do think it can set our children up for success and introduce them to saints and our faith early on. So talk about your book, Joseph's Workshop.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's actually why I created this book. I feel like there's so many amazing Catholic books out there, and I read so many of them to my daughter. I have 5 children, and the very first is a girl, and she ate up everything I brought home. And then when I had 3 sons in a row, they would tolerate the religious books, but they weren't super excited about them. They wanted the digger books and the fireman books and the police books, and which is all well and good, and I love them, and now I know all the names of all the dinosaurs that ever lived.
Yeah.
But I really wanted them to be able to have that excitement with a religious book, and it just hit me one day that what if we combine the two and take a holy figure, someone like St. Joseph, and feature his vocation and cool skills and tools and put that together in a children's book to get them to be excited about reading a religious text and being able to see someone who is virtuous and holy and an example. Not that you can't be virtuous and holy as a policeman or a fireman, but to have that saint attached to the vocation with the excitement of looking at the pages. So that's where Joseph's Workshop came into being.
I love it because I feel like as we get older as Catholics, we hear about St. Joseph, many of us, more and more, especially once we get married and we talk about St. Joseph and how we can incorporate him within our family life as a model for many men and young boys as well. And the just like you said, the faithfulness of this wonderful saint and who he was, although we don't hear much about him within scripture, but talk about how he can be a really great role model through this book for young boys.
Well, I tried to think about the hidden life of Jesus. You know, the thing about St. Joseph is that he doesn't say anything in scripture. So I purposely make him not speak in this until the very end, where he actually calls Christ's name, because we are sure he said that. Even scripture says that he was instructed to call him Jesus. So I was like, okay, we're sure he said Jesus. But using that idea, St. Joseph had no idea that this was going to be his life. You know, his vocation, he thought, was to marry Mary, have a family, be a carpenter, not raise the Son of God, right? So if we start meditating on what it would have been like for him to have that responsibility, what kind of father would he have been? And we know from our tradition that, you know, Mary and Jesus loved him so much, and they grieved him so much when he died so early in their lifetimes. So his childhood must have been joyous, and he must have used his craft to play with Jesus. I took my own husband as an example to take the talents that my husband has and seeing how he incorporates it in his play with the children. So I did the same thing with St. Joseph. If he's a carpenter, he would certainly make something for the child Jesus so that he could have a joyful time with him. But also just putting in that aspect of, you may not be where you thought you were going to be. You might be reading astronaut books, and one day you aren't an astronaut, and you're doing something else to feed and serve your family, because that's what gets you a house over your head. And, you know, so kind of incorporating that into their lives of, yes, you can be whatever you want, but you can also just do God's will. And I tried to show that in this board book for them.
Saying yes, just like St. Joseph did, of course, and leading us through that unique path and journey that is unique to all of us, that God gives to us. Julia, what is the age group that you are intending this book to kind of be geared toward?
It's about 5 and under. I tested it out on my own sons, right, just to be sure. my sons right now are 3, 5, and 7. And I think the 7-year-old's just excited that mommy wrote a book. But definitely the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old asked for me to read it again. So, which is exactly what the goal of the book was. Let's read again a holy book.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, kindergarten and below. It's a larger board book so they can hold it in their hand.
Good.
This is Damien. Is this a book? This is Damien, by the way. They had my mic cut.
Hi, Damien.
Good morning. And I'm excited. He's one of my favorite saints. I pray to St. Joseph every day. And I'm looking forward to getting the book just for me and my grandson. But on top of that, do you incorporate some of the virtues and associated with the tools? Or do you even do that? And is there rhyming in it? Because rhyming is, yeah, is a good memory mechanism for kids.
Yes, we classically educate our children, and so the rhyme was really important for me. I also have a history in music, so I wanted to make it kind of sing-songy, rhymey, because those are the books that I love to read to them. It bothers me if the word doesn't rhyme at the end when it's been rhyming the whole time, and then they discuss it, and I'm like, no! So I wanted to make sure it was musical, it was catchy, and then St. Joseph, I went deep into his litany. So I really, we have a devotion to him in our own family. My second son is named after St. Joseph. So we have his litany posted places in the house so we can pray it. And I wanted to sneak in little nuggets throughout the whole thing. And it's not just in the text, but also visually. So I had the illustrator put in, you know, a mirror in the background of one of the pages so that it could call to the mirror of patience that he is in the litany.
There you go.
We have in the text, we talk about him being prudent, you know, in his litany, he's called prudent in his litany. So going deeper that way so that maybe it might inspire parents to pray the litany with their children. And then they would hear it when they're reading the book. Oh, mom, they said prudent. They said patient, you know?
Well, yeah, and they'll be able to learn those words at an early age. I mean, a lot of kids, they got college kids who don't know what the word prudent means.
My son actually asked me the other day what the word wane meant, because I talk about St. Joseph's strength not waning in it. And they go, well, what's wane mean? I was like, great, I'm so glad you didn't know.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. You know what I think is quite powerful, Julia, are fathers reading this book to their sons, or a male figure in the home reading this to their sons, whether it's an uncle, grandfather. How powerful is that? And I think a memory that they can cherish throughout their entire lives as well.
Yes. I mean, I think that there's been a really good correlation in studies lately of, you know, just as if the father goes to Mass, the children are more likely to say their faith. It's also very similar with reading, that if you have a father that reads to you, you tend to be more of a reader yourself. So we often have nighttime daddy reads to you time. Mommy gets a break and daddy reads the story. So this is a great one. This is a great shorter one so that the daddy won't fall asleep at 8 o'clock at night reading.
that could happen. I love it.
Julia, is the book going to be debuted on St. Joseph's Day?
It is available for pre-order now, but its official release is St. Joseph's Feast Day.
Awesome.
It's Damien.
I have noticed that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's my man. So
I love it. Julia, where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy of Joseph's Workshop?
They can find it at sophiainstitute.com. It's also on all major, you know, websites for selling books. But we always encourage Catholic bookstores that are local. So if they're not, you know, holding it already, call them and ask them to get it for you. We love to support Catholic bookstores.
I love it. Thank you so much, Julia Wade, Catholic author of the book Joseph's Workshop. SophiaInstitute.com is where you can go and purchase your own copy. Thank you so much, Julia, for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby and Damien.
You're welcome.
All right. This is a perfect book to add to the little library as they get started. Oh, my gosh. So cute. I love it.
And yeah.
A perfect opportunity.
And I'm sure it's written well. I would have loved to, if we had a little more time, have her read a couple of pages just to tease us a little bit. But
yeah.
All right.
Definitely take
That's
a look.
That's exciting, though. You know?
It is very exciting.
Getting some
very
recognition,
cute.
Even in the children's world. I love it.
I love it. I love it. Well, stay with us. Jeff Dunbar joins Damien in the Baton Rouge studio to talk about the wonderful apostolate that is a woman's new life clinic. Stay with us. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 12 minutes before the top of the hour on this Tuesday morning, moving right along. So glad you could join us, Gabby Smith, yours truly, Damien Collado, and with us now, the one and only Jeff Dunbar. He is a board member with the Woman's New Life Clinic, and here to talk about why he is supporting the cause, because we always hear from a lot of women, Jeff.
Right.
So we're going to get a male's perspective this time.
Probably a bad idea.
No. Well, we'll let our listeners decide.
Okay. And viewers.
But let's talk a little bit about why you support Woman's New Life Clinic, and then I'm going to interject some thoughts, too, along the way.
Yeah. You know, the pro-life movement obviously has been around since abortion was legal, and just this idea of supporting women, accompanying families as they go through these unplanned pregnancies, is just really the heart of the gospel. You know, to true religion is the care of widow and orphans, and so many times women find themselves orphaned by society, and so just couldn't be any more blessed to even know our staff and healthcare workers and counselors that are providing these, you know, just wonderful relationships and services.
I've always wondered why they promote the fact that it's just the woman's choice and not the man's choice, since it took both of them to make things happen.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good point, and at the same time, so many men are abdicating their place.
Yeah.
And so so that's really where...
But do you think it's because they've heard it enough to where it's by default?
Oh, no, yeah. No, that lie has been bought. And I think, you know, another lie that's been sold, you know, by the enemy, you know, is that this is my body. And it's really a play for Catholics. It's obviously a play on the Eucharist. You know, it's a turning around those words. So it's really something that, like I said, our counselors and nurses and other healthcare workers, just loving people where they are today, is really the heart of the ministry.
So as a male, how many men are on the board besides you?
Oh, well, you mentioned Father Robert Cavalier, who's leading the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, is on our board as well. And I think there's four of us, and then we have four women as well, and three of those women are mothers, wives, and doctors.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And as a male, what do you do to show your support in regards to actual hands-on, if there's such a thing?
I've been married about 15, well, no, I'll get in trouble like that. I've been married about 18 years almost. And so as a male, as my wife has trained me, my job is to shut up and listen,
okay.
Number one.
That's a good rule.
And then, but secondly, I think everybody on our board has different gifts and talents. You know, my background is in teaching and finance now. And so, so this basically idea of helping set the mission and strategy, you know, for the overall organization, we're led by Allison Daigle, our CEO.
Right.
Very gifted. And I think we see not only serving, you know, women that walk into our clinic, but really having a Christian environment where people who work together, you know, the, you know, whenever you go to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials, you know, Sirach chapter 2. Uh-huh. And so I think, and obviously Catholic Community Radio is another example of this, that when you look to serve the Lord, we have to first love the people inside the walls of the building and treat them really well. And so that's really been something that Allison and all of our leaders have carried out, you know, through the years.
So what inspired you to get involved? Was your wife pulling you along, or is this something that from your heart you said, I got to join and be a part of this?
We got involved. We have two major fundraisers a year. One's a 5K race and a one-mile walk or half-mile walk. So she was literally pulling me along on that race while she was pushing a stroller and pregnant about 14 years ago, 13 years ago.
Wonderful.
And as a typical, you know, speaking too much after the race and that after race glow you get when you run a little ways.
Yeah.
I was explaining to the staff and leadership about how they could have gotten so many more people to this race, and they were just reeling me in, you know. And, oh, you are so smart, you know. And so the next
year, you've done this before.
So the next year, I was the chair of the race, and the rest is history.
Well, speaking of races, here's a perfect opportunity to give a plug for the event coming up in New Orleans.
That's right.
Or it's actually in Metairie.
But. Yeah, it's always a beautiful spring day. This is April 13th, so that's the Saturday before, or well, I guess two weeks after Easter. And that's on April 13th at Lafreniere Park. So it's always a wonderful time, and it's really like a family, almost like a birthday atmosphere for that race. And we have another one late in November here in Baton Rouge as well.
Yes, and always a fun time. And it's for a good cause. And to go to sign up, you know the website
that
you can
right.
give out?
Yeah, sure. You can find that link on our website, which is womansnewlife.com. So that's womans, W-O-M-A-N-S, newlife.com.
Very good. What's happening? I mean, it's evident that Governor Landry is making a lot of bold changes, and he is pro-life, to say the least. Are you working with him, not you personally, or maybe you are, but the organization, anything that you can provide them in the legislature, information to give them better insight?
Yeah, that's right. Allison Daigle works closely with Ben Clapper with Louisiana Right to Life.
There you go.
And we've often had staff members provide testimony to Louisiana's legislature on various issues. So we do work closely with them. And we really see our work, you know, a typical relationship is a woman who comes in and is meeting with, you know, we provide medical services as well as mental health services. So women might walk in just as a walk-in and then spends anywhere from 6 to 18 months, sometimes longer, regularly meeting and kind of being accompanied in that process. And so as needs come up, you know, even financial needs or sometimes we have people that are in abusive relationships and they need a place to stay, or somebody needs a job, or they need help, you know, how to write a resume. These are all just very human needs that are beyond healthcare, beyond mental health, but are still key. And so, you know, we would encourage the governor and anybody else in politics who has, you know, policy influence, which protect life at every level, you know, both, you know, from womb to tomb, as we Catholics say.
Right.
And so it's really important that that services, whether, or I should say, that when life's protected, that we're also protecting, you know, children and women who find themselves in needy situations.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Jeff, sorry to say we're out of time. I do appreciate you coming in, giving a male perspective.
Oh, thank you.
We haven't had that in quite a while.
Oh, that's very
and
kind.
And you did a great job.
Oh, so, thank you, sir.
You're not only a good listener, you're a good speaker.
Oh, well. You're very kind.
Good advocate.
Well, you handled all of Damien's questions, too. So congratulations, Jeff. You've passed.
we need to record this and play it for Bridget when I get home.
I do want to also give a plug for the big dinner that you guys are having, a Saved and Hope dinner in Baton Rouge, Wednesday, May 8th. The ballroom at Drusilla Seafood Restaurant. Keynote speaker is going to be John How do you say his last name, Gabby?
Buchalski. Dr. John Buchalski.
Yeah, yes. Former abortionist and now pro-life OBGYN in Virginia. So that's an event you want to attend to. We have all the details at ccmedia.live.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, the show's already over. I'm just going to do a quick prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as
it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to our stand-in audio director, David Dawson, our video technical director, Karen Cotton, for an amazing show today. Tomorrow, Peter Finney joins us, editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, Dr. Tom Neal from the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee, and Dr. Jordan Haddad with our Catholic 101 segment. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.